This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parshas Miketz and Chanukah. The connection is not just a pidrush, you know, remazim, to find remez for the Parshas HaShavua, to the Yomtiv, to the actual things that are happening during the Parshas HaShavua. But it's actually clear in the Rishonim that Parshas Miketz, as well as the end of what happened in Parshas Vayeshev, is exactly the history of Chanukah, the history of what happened in Galus by Bayis Sheni and after, as well as when Mashiach comes and we will be nigal, will be redeemed, is all Ramuz. It's all in the history of Parshas Miketz. This Rabbeisai is actually two Sipurnas. One Sipurna is in last week's Parsha, Parshas Vayeshev, in the beginning, where it says clearly, the Sipurna on the first Pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, it says that from the time that Yaakov Avinu returns, which is Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv, the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, he comes back, it's after Lavan, that's the history. Kairosov, what happened to Yaakov is going to be the exact history what's going to happen in Bayis Sheni. Churbonoi Vigalusoi Vigulas Leketz Hayamim. You know, we find in this week's parasha that Yosef becomes Melech. He becomes the king. After so much suffering, after so much Yisurim, we can call it Galus, he was in Mitzrayim and in the house of Potiphar and then in the jail, and all of a sudden, yeah, he becomes the Melech. You know, there's something called Melech HaMashiach Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef. That's this Parsha. That's what the Sipurna means. That whatever happened to Yaakov, to Yosef, in these parshias, from Vayeshev and Miketz, that is Bayis Sheni, the Churban, the Galus, and the future, final redemption, the final Geula. Which of course we understand, Yosef becoming the Melech, and that's the Mashiach ben Yosef. I want to show you, that was just a general outlook on the entire parish of Ayesha Miketz, but I'll give you a Proteus in detail, how the story of Yosef in last week's parasha and the fact that he becomes Melech in this week's parasha is, of course, like we said last week, is about Chanukah. We spoke a little bit last week that the Medrash ties the fact that he was thrown into the pit through Reuven and the Nes of Chanukah. The Medrash ties it together. An open, clear Medrash. It's a Medrash Pli. It's a Medrash Shir Shirim. The Medrash says, Hadudoyim nosnu reyach while pischenu kol megadim. That's a pasuk in Shir Shirim. Hadudoyim nosnu reyach zeh Reuven shehitzelis Yosef. We know there was a story with Dudoyim with Reuven. So Hadudoyim, the flowers, they give smell. Who is that referring to? Reuven, who saved Yosef. Val pischenu, the door, are kol megadim, we have sweets. We have delicious delicacies. Megadim. Zeh ner Chanukah. That's ner Chanukah, says the Medrash. So the Medrash ties together. The Medrash unites the story of Reuven saving Yosef with Chanukah. And we spoke a little bit last week about it. And we're going to speak a little bit more this week as well. But in this week, we also have that Yosef is freed from the bor, the final redemption. The bor was the beginning. That was the start. Then he went down to Mitzrayim after being sold to Yishmael and Midian. And in the house of Potiphera, the suffering. It was easy? It wasn't easy in the house of Potiphera. The dangers of Nisayon is tremendous over there. And yet what? He stood strong, and still what happened? He was caught on something that he didn't do, and he was thrown again into slavery, to jail. And all of a sudden now, finally, Yosef comes out shining, the Melech. And this is the final. This is it. Yosef now is not to be put back into Gullus, not to be put back into the pit. That's the final redemption. But I want to show you in Protius, in specific, how Mashiach ben Yosef is tied to Yosef in this week's parsha. I'd rather begin not with the first part of the pasuk of Miketz, which I'll get back to in a few moments, but just the way he was saved. How was Yosef saved? How was he taken out? How was he redeemed? So it says that they call Yosef Vayiritzuhu min abayr. He was ripped. He was taken quick, like ripped away from the bar and brought to Pari. Says the Sipora, why does it have to be Vayiritzu? You take him out. He can be let out of jail. Why does it have to be that he is taken out of jail? Vayiritzu. With, like as if he's ripped away quickly, in haste. Says the Sipurna Yisoid, beautiful pshat. Yeshua Hashem, when Hashem gives salvation, it's keherifayin, it comes quick. quick. Now what does quick mean? Quick meaning that when the time comes, it happens quickly. We all know about that, right? And Pi'ita and Achishena, the Mashiach is supposed to come, and the final Geula is supposed to come. I await it, but even then, as much as I await it, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it shows up. But there's another point of quick. If you look, the Sipurna continues with the theme of quick and redemption, and he says that when Mashiach comes, he says it clearly, when Mashiach comes, it will be the same way as Yosef was taken from the pit. These are not pshatim from sources far out. This is the Sipurna on the Psukim, open in the Rishayim. When Mashiach comes, it's going to look like, it's going to mirror the same way Yosef was taken from the pit. Just as Yosef was taken from the pit in haste, so too when Mashiach comes, says Sipurna, it will be the same. Pisayin yovoi ha'odayin asher atem evakshim. He brings the pasuk. Pisayin. Suddenly it will happen. So Yosef's history of how he becomes melech is actually a remez for the future when Mashiach comes also. It'll be Vayiritzuhu Pisoim, suddenly, quickly, Kiherifayim. This, Rabbeisai, is clear in the Sipurna. This is not something which I'm adding or I'm giving my own explanation. The Rishonim tell us clearly that the Parsha of Ayeshev and Miketz is the blueprint of the Gullus and the final Geula. If you look at Midrashim, Yavon had a special hatred to Mashiach ben Yosef. This is clear in the Midrashim. One of the things that they couldn't swallow was the Mashiach ben Yosef. What's in the Mashiach ben Yosef that irks them so much? So we've spoken in the past that Yosef and Mashiach ben Yosef is about Oirei Shel Mashiach, the light of Mashiach, which is the Or HaGanus, Like the Rekeach, the Rishayim tell us clearly, it's the Ar HaGanos that's hidden in the Torah. And that's why when Mashiach comes, there'll be no questions in Torah. Everything will be clear. The Oyer, the light. When there's clarity, there's no questions. There's no pilpulim, bilbulim, as well as no machloket. We'll know clearly. That's why teku. You know, whenever we have the word teku, in the Gemara, whenever we have a question and we don't know the answer, we say teku. What does teku mean? Tishbi, yitaretz, kushiois, ve'aboyis. Any question and any pondering of anything that we don't know clear in Torah, Mashiach Tishbi will come and clarify it for us. And the Rishayim again, not me, I'm not adding anything, I'm not, you know, in these topics, it's very important not to add and not to give your own interpretations. It's just to state what the Rishayim teach us. It's just to state what the Rishayim tell us clearly, and that is that Mashiach, there'll be a ribui of Torah, Malar, it's Dasis Hashem. It doesn't only mean that Hashem exists, but the Torah, which is the Das of Hashem, which is the knowledge of Hashem, will also become Malar. The world will see it with a clarity. Yavan is Chayshech. It says clearly, V'chayshech al pnei sahaim, there was darkness. Yavon is darkness. Chayshech zu Yavon. It says in Parashas Bereishis that Yavon, I'm sorry, that Chayshech is al pnei sahaim. Chayshech ze Yavon. Shechshichu einayim shel Yisrael. They made dark the eyes. The Rabbeinu Shleilam, when it was dark, made what? The oir. He made light. Which light did he make? He made the Or HaGanus. He made that light that was so light that he had to hide it. And that it will return, as Chazal tell us clearly, when Mashiach comes. The Zayar and the Rishayim tell us, where is it till Mashiach comes? It's in the Torah. It's in the Torah. It's hidden in the Torah. So Mashiach ben Yosef, which is Oirei Shal Mashiach, like we all sing in the song, Zeh Oirei Shal Mashiach. What is Oirei? The light of Mashiach. What do you think he's going to come in? Like a doctor that has a light on his forehead. That has a has a beam of light on his forehead. No. Oirei Shal Mashiach is the Torah that he'll bring. The clearness in Torah that he'll bring. The Or HaGanos that he will return. That's now hidden in the Torah. Yavon doesn't like that type of Torah. Yavon likes the Torah that they feel is legitimate. They're not looking for the depth of Torah, the pilpul of Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh. They like the text of the Torah. So that's why Yavon is called Chayshech, because they like the Torah without the Aragonos in the Torah. Shechshichu Einayim Shel Yisrael. And this is the Pisaim Yavoy Aleichaloi, as we soon will explain. Suddenly, if the Mashiach is going to come, just like by Yosef, Ayiritzu Min Abar. What's the Lashon? Keheref Ayin. The blink of an eye. It's an interesting expression. You know, just if I may add a little bit on my own here now, this is not in the Rishonim, but it's an interesting point. When you blink, for a second your eyes are closed. It's dark. All of a sudden it's light. Dark, light. A blink is a good way of giving an analogy to quick. Because people blink quickly. That's true. But it could also be an analogy, dark to light, dark to light. Closed, you don't see for a second. You don't even notice it. It's interesting. When you blink, you don't even realize that your eyes are closed for a second. Open, all of a sudden your eyes open up. The analogy is not just about the quickness of the Keheref Ayin here, but it could also be keheref ayin. Not only the quick, that's what I'm saying. It's not only about the quick, but the keheref ayin could be about 1 second. Closed eyes, and all of a sudden the eyes are open. Pay attention to what I'm saying. I'm going to show you now how choshech, the darkness, and yavon, which represents the darkness, and geula, which represents the light from that darkness, is about open and closed. The eye is closed, the eye is open. You know, one of the themes of Galus, which the Rishonim tell us, is that we don't see. That we can't see what's there. Shichu einehem shel Yisrael. Okay? You know, Choshech, there's two types of Choshech. There's Choshech outside, and then there's Choshech which the person is me'uvar, he's blind, he's iver. Outside is light. So someone tells the blind person, is it light or dark? So he has to be careful. He can't say it's dark outside, because outside it's not dark. For him it's dark. It's his eyes which are shut, sealed, and closed. It doesn't say shichu. It doesn't say they were machshich the world. Hichshichu einehem, the eyes of Klal Yisrael. You know, there's a very interesting Torah Tumima. The Torah Tumima said controversial things to the point that people questioned, should we learn the Torah Tumima? And one of the controversial things that he said was that the Makkah of Choshech in Mitzrayim wasn't outside, but it was actually on the eyes themselves. Cataracts. He says, because it's brought down that the Choshech had mamashut, it had physical. There was a tangency to the Choshech. The Medrash Chazal tells us there was tangency to the Choshech. So he explains that the tangible is because it was on the eye. It was a tangible skin that grew on the eye of the Mitzrayim like a cataract. So it's Makas Choshech, but not outside. It's Makas Choshech of the eye, of the cornea. There's two types of Makas Choshech. There's Choshech outside, light and dark. And then there's Choshech that a person could be in the greatest light, but his eyes are cataract. The cornea is blind. It's Choshech. Hichshichu einehem, Rabbi Yisrael. If you pay close attention, as we soon will explain, is not just that it was dark. It was dark, the eyes became dark, which means that Klal Yisrael's eyes became blind. Galus is darkness, not external darkness, even though sometimes it could be, but it could be Hichshichu einehem. You know, 60, 70 years ago, there was Holocaust Galus. That was dark outside. The whole world was dark. You know, it's an unbelievable thing if you look at the history of the Holocaust. I mean, there was Layayim v'Laylayla, there was no day, there was no night, it was just, the world was in chaos. Like the Mabul. Chazal tells by the Mabul, Shama'ayres laku, there was no day, there was no night. That's darkness on the outside. We're still in Galus, Rabbi Yisai. There's the fears, there's sakanot that we have from, that we have to be afraid of, that might come up at any given moment. But for the most part, not dark for us outside. We have our homes, we have our jobs. So where is the Galus? Where is the Galus today? And the answer is Hichshichu einehem. The galus maybe is not the chayshich external, but it might be the chayshich on the person internal. How many people are suffering internally, unhappy, lost, problems. So chayshich sometimes could be an external. Chayshich galus could sometimes be what? Internal. It could be the person. Yichshichu einehem. Yavon was cultured. Yavon was very cultured. The Jew, if he was a Misyavein, would have luxuries. The Misyavnim, those that followed the Yavonim, they had a wonderful life. It wasn't Holocaust for them. But the blindness, the internal chayshich, the Jews suffered tremendously in Yavon. Because externally it was so appetizing, because externally there was so much olam hazeh offered to the person if he would just follow. And you want to know something? You want Bible? You could have had Bible classes too. You're Jewish? Go! Bible, we're with you on the Bible. Let's go. We'll make you courses and colleges for Bible. Wonderful. I'm not stopping you from Torah, but I'm stopping you from which Torah? The Torah Shebal Peh, the Or HaGanus, the inner Torah that a Jew has to learn. The Chayshich was an inner Chayshich. It was an inner Chayshich, Rabbi Yisai, inner. It was the flame from within that the Jew has. Notice the Ner Chanukah is about Hadlokas Ner. You know, when we talk about the Neshama, we say Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam. The Ner of Hashem is the Neshama. The Neshama of Klal Yisrael, they were trying to extinguish. The external, Purim, the Bach tells us, they try to exterminate us externally. Chanukah, they try to exterminate us, not externally, but internally. The fire from within. The Bach even quotes an interesting Rekeach, it's actually from the Rekeach, that the Yevanim went special after the Menorah. It says, V'timu kol hashmanim. What about the rest of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Rekeach and other Rishonim seem to learn that their goal was not to be metame the Beis HaMikdash. How did the Beis HaMikdash become tame? Uboyu bo pritzim v'chiluluha. The fact that the pritzim, the fact that those who broke into the Beis HaMikdash came there, that itself is how they were metame. That itself is how they desecrated and defiled the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. But their goal was not to go there and touch, to defile. But one thing they did have intent to defile and destroy, says the Bach in the name of the Rekeach, the Menorah and its lighting. The Menorah is what they were looking. That's what they were after, the Menorah. It's interesting. You know, in the history books, there's this coin that they have showing how they dragged the Menorah to Greek, to taking away the Menorah. The Roman. The Arch of Titus. It's interesting, the Menorah seemed to symbolize, it's an interesting thing, we don't find any other Klei HaMikdash. The Menorah symbolized the soul of the Beis HaMikdash. This is what the Beis HaMikdash stood on. This is the what do I call it? This was the simon, the sign of triumph, and that the Jews fell and were exiled through the Menorah. I mean, they took everything. Why is the Menorah the symbol? It's the symbol of triumph for the Greek, for the Roman, and the symbol of triumph, of defeat, for Klal Yisrael. And this is actually a rekech. I'm saying not the history part, but the aside of it. The rekech says, and the Bach is, I mean, he doesn't quote the word rekech, but I found that it's actually in the rekech before the Bach, that the menorah was to them the goal, to destroy the menorah and its hadlaka, to defile it, because it says the rekech, with this they knew that Klal Yisrael is avudim. They knew that if they destroy the menorah, they have Klal Yisrael. They got rid of Klal Yisrael. And I asked myself, why? Why is it that the menorah is the symbol, is the one keli and the one avoider, that means that if we got this, we destroy Klal Yisrael? So I think the pshat is pretty pashit. It resembles the Ur HaTorah. If you look at the Rishonim, it's clear that the menorah is the semel, it's the sign, it's the token of Ur HaTorah. Klal Yisrael, without its internal Ur HaTorah, cannot survive. We've survived Golosin. We've survived Beis HaMikdash Churban, but we cannot survive if the Torah and its Kedusha and its Limud is taken away from us. There's just no way. This is what keeps us going in the Golos. The fact that we can still sit down and learn Torah, the Kedusha, the Tahira. And the Goyim knew this. The Goyim who tried to disintegrate Klal Yisrael, they knew that the way to get to them is to take away and defile the Eir HaTorah. That the learning shouldn't be al yedei kayanecha kedoshim, through kedusha, through tahira, because the Ur HaGonis is the inner soul of Klal Yisrael. You could beat the external of Klal Yisrael. You're not going to win. You're not going to destroy the Yid. You take away his internal being, which is the Torah and the Ur HaTorah, the Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. You won him. You've gotten him. I believe, Rabbosai, that this is actually part of the explanation to the beginning of Parshas Miketz. If you notice, it says, Vayhi Miketz. Chazal tell us, Miketz, Ketz Sam Lachayshich. From here we deduce that the Rabbeinu Shalom has a time, has a budget of time, so to speak. Ketz. This is the time frame. Sam Lachayshich. And the Medrash continues. The Medrash says, because the Yetzahara is Chayshich, and the Yetzahara also has its time. And when Mashiach comes, also Ketz Sam Lachayshich. We'll have the same concept. It's the first medrash in this week's parasha. Ketz Sam Lachayshich, that the Rabbeinu Shloim, you know, when we talk about the Ketz when Mashiach comes, it's taken from the word Miketz of this week's parasha, where Chazal tell us Ketz Sam Lachayshich. There's a time. There's a deadline. That was the right word. There's a deadline. When the Yeshua is supposed to come. So I have a question, Rabbi Yisrael. If you talk about Choshech, Ketzam LaChoshech, you would use the word Choshech to connotate the darkness of the Yisurim. Yisurim themselves, pain, could have darkness. What is that darkness? It's depression. The pain, this could be referred to as darkness, chayshich. But if you look at the Medrash is not talking about the pain. The Medrash discusses the chayshich, the Yetzirah. You know, maybe it would be a good idea if we learned the Medrash inside and you'd see exactly what I wanted. Can you bring me a Medrash, Rabban Bereshis? as we've discussed, Vayeshev Miketz is the blueprint of Galus and Geula and future Geula, as the Sipurna says clearly. And the Parsha here uses the word Miketz, and Chazal teach us that Miketz is because that there's a deadline. The word Ketz is a deadline, that for every Galus there's a Ketz, there's a deadline. I read you the Lashon of the Medrash, Vahi Miketz Nosayim Yomim, Ketz Sam Lachayshech, Ketz Sam Lachayshech, a deadline for the darkness, Zman Nasin Li'aylam, says Chazal. Rabbi Yishim gave a time, Kama Shonim Yaseb Afela, how long will there be darkness? My Tam Ketzam Lachayshech. Why? Why is there a deadline? Says the Medrash, Shekos Man Sheyetzahara Ba'aylam, because as long as the Yetzahara is in this world, Oifel Vitzalmavis Ba'aylam, death of darkness is in this world. Nekar Yetzahara, when the Yetzahara is uprooted, then the darkness will go away. Then the Medrash says, Davar Acha Ketzam Lachayshech, the same thing happened to Yosef. That Yosef also, there was a deadline for his being in the Beis Asurim. When the Ketz came, Vayachalim Pari, Pari dreamt. So we see from here that the Ketzam Lachayshech, Miketz, this week's parish is not only about Yosef. It's a Davar Acha that it's about Yosef. The second pshat in the Medrash is that it's about Yosef. The first pshat in the Medrash, who's it about? Us, in Gullus, future, Ketz, there'll be a deadline when the Geula will come. And what is this Ketz Amlach Choshech? Because as long as the Choshech is here, it's Yetzirah. It's about the Yetzirah, this Choshech. So you see clearly that the Medrash is not learning that the Choshech is the bitterness and the darkness of the Yisurim, of the pain, but actually the actual Golus itself is Choshech. It's Yetzirah. What does that mean? So I'll tell you what I believe, Pashit, and I think it's a tremendous lesson that we could take from this, and this could be a lesson in Chanukah, and explains a lot of things about Chanukah as well, and that is that the Choshech we're referring to is, like I spoke to you in the beginning of the shir, it's the darkness where the man himself is in darkness. The person himself is blind, and that blindness, Rabbi say, is a cataract called the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is a tremendous cataract. The Yetzirah takes the cornea and blinds it. It puts afela, it puts dark clouds around the eyes that you can't see. Chazal are defining that the Choshech of the Gullus is not the pain and torture, because at times it's not all that bad. So where is the Choshech of the Gullus? It's not the pain, but it's the blindness, the Choshech. It's the Yetzahara. She calls man, she Yetzahara b'aylam, oivul v'tzal mavez b'aylam. The deadline, the miketz, the ketzam l'choshech, is not Choshech, Rabbi Sai. Pain, darkness, but blindness, darkness, which the Chachamim define as Maisi Yetzirah. This is also Yosef. It's true Yosef was in the Beis Asurim and it hurt him. It's true there was darkness, pain in the Beis Asurim. But there probably was even worse Ivarim, blindness, and I'll explain to you now what I mean. It says in the Pasuk, Upare Choylein, Pari's dreaming. You know, when somebody has a dream, you don't say Ufare Choylein, you say Ufare Cholam. When you're talking about after the fact, about the fact, and the right word is uparei cholam. Pari dreamt. Pari is dreaming in the verb. What does that mean? He is dreaming. The diktuk is off. Right? When you want to say a story happened in the past, you say the person dreamt, not is dreaming, unless he's dreaming right now. Pari's not alive now to be dreaming. You know, in Yiddish we have a zvertel. Ufari chaylim, he was a dreamer. Maybe that's what it means. When a person is in constant denial, see, you call him a dreamer. So Ufari's not chalam that he had a dream. He's a chaylim, he's living in dream world. He's living in a fantasy world. That's not the pashup shot. The Archaim HaKadosh says the pashup shot is because actually Pari had this dream, not just that time, that moment where Yosef, Miketz, Nastayim, some, the end of the 2 years. But actually, Ufari Chaylim, constantly he had this dream. For 2 years already he's been having this dream. But it never affected him, says Aruch Chaim. Now Yosef has to come out of the pit. It affects him. Ufari, you hear? But Ketzam Lachayshach, Kiva Shigia Ketz Chalam Parachalayim. So the Medrash seems to say that he just got the dream now. The Rechaim is saying, no! He dreamt the same dream for 2 straight years. But all of a sudden now it bothered him. All of a sudden now it bothered him. So the Mepharshim asked on the Rechaim, Hasidic literature especially speaks about this, then why does he need to have the dream for 2 years? See, according to the way it's Mashman the Medrash, now Yosef is supposed to leave. So now Pari has the dream. So the coincidence is thus that since he had to leave, therefore Pari has the dream. Makes sense. But if it's not that he had that, but he's leaving 2 years already, he had to leave now, Yosef, why does Pari have the dream for 2 straight years? So there's a sefer from a very, very big tzaddik or a Hasidic Rebbe called Reb Pinchas Korof, considered from the great Hasidic masters in Chumash and in Drush. And he says a mayridika pshat. He says, actually, the table was set for Yosef to leave 2 years ago. Pari had this dream 2 years already. But what happened? Yosef wasn't ready. Yosef wasn't ready. Why? And he says, "Amayri de Gepshat." Yosef made a mistake. Uzchartani. He tells the Sarah Mashke, "Remember me. Remember me." He said it twice. And for those 2 words, 2 years. He had to sit in jail for 2 years. So I always thought to myself that the mistake was just 2 words. 2 words. 2 words of lack of bikachon. Instead of coming and being mishtadel with tefillah to the Rebbeinu Shloilam, he went to a person, he went to the Saramashkim, and he asked him for help. Why are you trusting the Saramashkim? Why don't you go straight to the Rebbeinu Shloilam? You know that Hashem is with you everywhere. Hashem imoy, it says clearly, Hashem was with him. You know how many times it says that he was an ish matzliach? Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky points out 18 times Yosef opens his mouth in the Chumash. And every time, you know what comes out of Yosef's mouth? Hashem, Biladai, Elikim Yana Shloim Pari, Elikim Yachnecha Bini, Shem Shemayim Shogar Befi, Rashi says, that the Odin, the master of Yosef, Paitifera sees that the Shem Shemayim was Shogar Befiv, says Rabbi Yaakov, look, every time Yosef opens his mouth and talks in the Torah, Elikim, you'll find the word Hashem in there. Just as Hartani, there were 2 words that he went wrong. And I always like to say, you see from here, but 2 words, the damage, 2 years. He had to have 2 years of Beis Asurim to fix 2 words. You know, I would expect the Chafetz Chaim to write a pshat like this. Look at the consequence of two words. Person said two extra words. That's how I always learned it. But this year, when I saw Rav Pinchas Karitz's Vart, I understood he was saying something deeper. It wasn't the two words. I'm explaining what I think he means. I think Rav Pinchas Karitz is trying to say it's not about the two words, but he needed the 2 years to fix, to work on himself. To be oker, the lack of bitachon that he had, by saying uschartani. He said uschartani. Now he had to work on himself to uproot that. Took 2 years. Had it taken 1 year for him to do it, he would have been let out after 1 year. That's what Rav Pinchas Karitz is saying. A beautiful pshat in the Arachayim. The table was set for him to leave early, but he just wasn't ready. The moment Yosef was ready, the moment that he fixed the Zachartani from within, the Shoirish, the root of where that Chisar and Bitachon came from, now it bothers Parei. The Rabbeinu Shloilam prepares around us the Geula. We have to seize on it by fixing what's causing the Galus. The Geula is ready around us. You know, they always talk about Mechash Rikitzim, when Mashiach is supposed to come, and he doesn't show up. What does that mean? They were wrong, the people who gave us these information, and the answer is they weren't wrong. Everything was set and prepared. We missed the opportunity to uproot what brought the Galus, that we could now use the time, the Ketzam L'Chaisha, to bring the Mashiach. Now Yosef is ready after 2 years, says Rav Pinchas Karitz, because he fixed, he uprooted the reason why he said the Mezachartani. It was a Chisar and Bitachon. Now let me explain to you. For another person, the Beis Halevi says this wouldn't be a Chisar and Bitachon. He's supposed to do Ishtadus. His famous question, the Medrash says, Ashu Agevra Sheyiftach Bashem, it's Yosef. So make up your mind. Is it Baruch? Is the Baal Bitachon Yosef? Baruch HaGevra Shivtach Bashem? Or is it Arur? And the answer is, for someone who is on the level of Yosef, that he's such a Baal Bitachon, because he was Baruch HaGevra Shivtach Bashem, so for him, how could you even do the slightest drop of ishtadlus, which for another person would even be maybe a mitzvah? The Ramban talks at great length in Tyrus Adam that certain tzaddikim are on a level that they don't have to have any ishtadlus whatsoever. And he talks about the idea of going to doctors. He says, we regular people are mechuyev to go to a doctor. And if we don't go to a doctor, we're even aveiru shmartlum and afshei seichem. Tzaddikim who are on a very high level of bitachon, they don't need to go to a doctor. It's the opposite. There's such a level of bitachon that they shouldn't even go to a doctor, because it shows that they're not solely in the hands of Hashem. They're actually putting their health in the expertise and help of others. Better not to even go. The stipel is Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I remember when I was younger bacher, Stipel was sick, then he was nifter. He was very makbid not to go and get medical intervention. For this Ramban, he was on such a level. He went into a coma, so the doctor came and put an intravenous into his arm. Because they figured he's not by himself at the moment, so it's kedai to put it in. He woke up from the coma, it was like a semi-coma, and he saw the intravenous in his arm and he pulled it out. And he got upset. Why'd you put it in? I didn't want it. Tzaddikim are able to be on such a level, and the Beis Halevi seems to say that was Yosef. Yosef was on such a level that he shouldn't have done any ishtadlus whatsoever. So Yosef had to fix that. Now, what is the chisaron of ishtadlus that Yosef had? It was a lack of emunah, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. Yosef was full of emunah. So where is that, I would call it the slip, where did the slip come from? That he slipped and he said, u'schartani, and the answer is, it's a blind spot. There's a blind spot. Sometimes we don't see that we're making a mistake. We think everything is the way we're supposed to be doing, but we make a slip, a mistake, a blind spot. The way I explained to you doesn't mean the choishech of the pain. It doesn't mean the choishech of the pain of the yisurim, of the galus, but it actually means the blind spots that the Yetzer Hara puts in front of us that doesn't give us the ability to fix what will bring the Yeshua. We sometimes have choishech. We don't know how to proceed. We don't know what it is that we're doing wrong or what we should be doing to be doing right, to fix, that will bring the deadline of the Ketzam LaChoshech, because the Choshech is the Yetzer Hara that blinds the person. Yosef, in a minute split second, had a blind spot. Maybe he even felt that he should do the Hishtadlus. He felt it was La'alach HaMechuyiv, and the blind spot was that he should have known that he was not Mechuyiv, or he had the Gias to think that he was Mechuyiv. It's so complicated when somebody has to deal with bitachin. On one hand, bitachin is to be mishtadl, and on the other hand, bitachin is to trust. The fine line between the two is so sharp, razor sharp. It's a hair difference that sometimes it's confusing. What's called normal ishtadlus and what's called too much ishtadlus? It's possible that that hairline of a difference is the blind spot that the Yetzer Hara knew would make Yosef make the mistake and slip. And when he fixes that choshech, and he's oiker that choshech, and he sees clearly what the right thing to do and how to proceed and how to be mesakin, the table was set a long time ago, but now quickly everything starts to move in the proper direction. You know, there's a very nice Sipurna. The Rishonim speak about it, that when Hagar with Yishmael, they were dying of thirst in the Midbar. It says Hashem opened up her eyes. Vehine be'er basod b'midbar. There's a bear. There's a well of water. So the Sipurna and the Mepharshim say Hashem opened her eyes. The well was there always. The Yeshua is standing right in front of us. The problem is the inayim, the eyes, don't always see what's right in front of us. The Yeshua could be right there, right there, right there. But what happens is the eyes are blind. They don't see. Till Vayiftach Hashem is Eineha. Hashem opened up her eyes. The Sipurna uses the Lashon Hakel Becheska Sumim. We're all Sumim. We're all blind men. Till Hashem opens up our eyes. Person could walk his whole life thinking they has perfect vision. 2020, huh? 2020 vision. Ah! And he has the latest contact lenses to give him less, better than 20/20. All right. And he's blind like a bat. Blind like a... And the bat at least has radar to know how to go. He doesn't even have the radar. Imagine flying a plane without radar. That's how we look in life. Why? Because the choshech of the Yetzer Hara, he blinds us. He famishes us a cup. Does he fadrei us? Does he work on from within to be mevalbel, to be machshich, to make us lost in the clouds. Afela, you know what afela is, when it's, you ever wake up in the morning and it's unan. What do you call afela when there's a day? What?
Fog.
The fog of life. Yeah. Medrash uses this lashon. That's mamish the lashon of the Medrash. Rabbi Isai, she calls Mashiyei Tzara B'Yilam Oifel V'Tzalma Ves D'Ksiv Evan Oifel V'Tzalma Ves Oifel. You know what Oifel? Fog. The brain is all fogged up. Why? Because the Yetzer Hara fogs you up. And in Gullus, it's a very foggy day there. Almost never a clear day. The clear day, then you would know how to get out of the fog. You would know how to drive through it and get to the destination. Keitzam lachayshech. Yosef Rabbeisa resembles the idea of Keitzam lachayshech. And that Yosef, all of a sudden, with his bitachon, yeah. You know what herifayin means? Sudden. We don't want the word sudden. We want herifayin. Herifayin means the eye is closed. And all of a sudden the eye is open. Suddenly the eye could open. It could be closed for a second, but it's closed. A second's closing of an eye. A second of a zuhartani. It was closing his eyes for a second. For 1 second he closed his eyes. But he was going on a very serious highway. Yeah? If you close your eyes for 1 second on a serious highway, it can be a very big problem. A lot of bad things could happen. And all of a sudden your eyes are open. That's Keitzam Lachayshech. Keitzam Lachayshech. Yosef is in the pit. And he fixes, because he's oymed. He recognizes where the choshech, where the yetzahara, where the mistake was. And he was able to fix it. And that mistake is, we think that what's going to help us in the galus, mishtadel. Mishtadel is not going to help you, Rabbi Yisai. What's going to help is to be misakein, to fix what went wrong. Why there was a problem in the first place, and if we undo it, for example, the Beis HaMikdash is charev because of Sinas Chinam. If we fix the Sinas Chinam, then I want to prove this to you. But I first want to show you Yosef a little bit more, how Yosef learned, how Yosef understood to fix the Zechartani to the point that he went to the other extreme, that he was the Baal Bitachon that the Chazal attribute him with. Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach B'Hashem. And I want to show this to you. If you take a look, when Yosef is told that Pari wants him, it says in the Pasuk, Vayiritzu min Abar, and we spoke, why did he have to be ripped out of the bar? So we told you one pshat, Yeshua Hashem Kerefai in the Sipurno. In the Achroinim, on Chumash, there's nice halachic Torah about it, because it happened to have been on Rosh Hashanah. The day that Yosef was taken out of the bar was Rosh Hashanah. Are you allowed to leave the tchum? You're not leave tchum.
Shaving,
right? So by Yitzum in a bar, they had to rip him out of the bar and they had to force him to take a haircut. Why? Yontif. Pari wants me. Who cares? Pari wants me. Yontif. That's what the Mefarshim, Tzafnas Paneach, the Rakachav, others, it's a famous, it could even the Chidah speaks about it a little bit. It seems that it was forced. It wasn't with free will. Why Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah? Many say this. Okay. I would like to say Al Pi Agode, not Al Pi Alocha, Al Pi Agode. According to the Pshat we've been speaking till now, why it had to be he was forced. And the answer is, when somebody gets a Basura that the king wants him, you know it right away? You don't have to convince him more than just tell him, right? He's already running on his own. Before you're able to take him, he already caught a taxi to get there. Why? This is my opportunity, yeah? This is it! Here's my chance! Yosef learned, I don't manhig the matzav. Hashem is manhigoti from the matzav. I'm not going to do extra hishtaglus. I let it happen. You take me out of the bar, good. I want to show you how far this goes. Vayigalach, vayichalef simlotav. Rashi says, why did he take a haircut? Mepnei kvod hamalchus. Rashi stresses. He did it because of the covenant and the respect of the kingdom. Rashi needs to tell me why he cut his hair. I mean, he cut his hair, man. He could have had wild hair. Who knows how long he can take a haircut for? I mean, why do we need a special? Rashi has to point out, Mepnei kvod hamalchus. And it's pretty obvious from the pasuk. I mean, if he's supposed to come to Pari, take a haircut. That's the pasuk says he took a haircut. I know why he took a haircut. He didn't want to look like a wild man in front of the king. I mean, it's you don't need a Rashi for that. I want to say Pshat Rabbeisai. You know why he took a haircut? Not to be nice a chain, but ain't a Pari. The point was not, I'll take a haircut, look good. He'll give me the job. I have to look good on the interview. No. Because of Kavod HaMalchus. No hishtadlus whatsoever. Yosef is not going to be mishtad. He made this mistake in the pit by telling him, go on my behalf. Now he lets Hashem. Yeah? Lo shu manig et ha-matzav, ela shu munhag. Munhag me-ha-matzav. He lets the situation take him. Because Hashem is running the show, as they speak in English, as they say. And therefore he waits for Hashem to tell him what the next step is. Yeah, tell a guy the king wants you and you're stuck in jail and you have Kishon, you know, he knows how to be poter chalom. So another guy thinks, he looks in the mirror, tell me the tie looks good. Yeah, the tie. the hair is, yeah, listen, this is my chance. I gotta make a good impression. He realized impressions, repressions. It ain't gonna work. Impressions could be depressions. Not necessarily gonna work. If Hashem wants, melameit shagzeiro emes b'charitzu sheker. Yosef learned in his life, and Yosef was the lesson. As the Ramban says, Shagzeira Emes. The Ramban speaks about how come Yosef went to see the brothers. He didn't know he was in trouble with them. He didn't know that they hated him and they wanted her. So why did he go? And why did Yaakov send him? Well, Yaakov doesn't understand that what the situation when he was in dream world, he was blind. So the Ramban says, Melame, this is teaches us Shagzeira Emes. If what Hashem says should be, will be. Bacharitzus, all the smart hishtadlut that a person does, all the plans that he makes, that doesn't help him. Hacharitzus is sheker. Yosef is trying to teach us with his life. The reason why Yosef is in the Torah as one of the obvious is to teach us, like we spoke weeks ago, tahira, purity, Yosef atzadik, and mitachi. Think about the tremendous darkness that Yosef had from the moment he was thrown into the pit. How much depression he could have had. Where? What? It's the most bizarre. Can you imagine you take a kid, little kid, and tell him, you know what? We're going to send you to Uganda. Give me another place in Africa. Somali, not Somali. Akachakapunga Papunga, where they sit there. Where the chiefs have spears through the back of their necks. Yeah, and the women wear plates in their ears. So, yeah, you think, where, what, who? That's where they were sending Yosef HaTzadik, yeah, to Mitzrayim. He has no idea what the future is going to bring in years and years. And yet, his avodah was bitachon, to have full faith in the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. So here, he learned this. And how does he learn it? That when he's taken from the pit, he had to be taken from the pit. He's not running on his own. Vayiritzu min apar. No ishtadlus. Vayigalach. Nekvayt hamalchus. He doesn't do it for himself. He does it because there's halacha of kvayt hamalchus. And I want to show you even more. You look at the Evan Ezra. He says, Vayigalach hamigalech. Vayigalach hamigalech. That the one who gave him the haircut, gave him the haircut. Which means not he himself took a haircut, but the Megaleach, someone barbered him, someone gave him a haircut. So they say, because Rosh Hashanah, they say the same famous pshat. Since it's Rosh Hashanah, he didn't want to take it himself, but the guy, he's Shvusim, Amir Lakim, they talk so much pilpul halach on this. I would say very simple. You know why he didn't pshat in the pasuk, according to the Eben Ezra's? He didn't take his own haircut. No ishtatlus whatsoever. Rashi learns he took the haircut for Kvayl HaMalchus. The Eben Ezra says, you know why he took the haircut? Because they forced him. He wasn't going to take a haircut either. The Megaleach. Someone tells you that the king wants to see you. Yeah? You take your haircut, you're sitting in the front of the mirror, yeah, you shave this way and that way, and perfect. And Yosef learned not to do any ishtatlus whatsoever. And that's what Eben Ezra means. Hamigaleach. He was taken by somebody and given a haircut. He himself wasn't taking the haircut. Maybe. Point being, Yosef learns no ishtatlus. I was thinking of another thing also. When he tells Parei, and he leads Parei, you should have somebody who's going to be in charge, and he never mentions once that it's him. Mm-hmm. Most people, when they try to, like, you know, tell the boss about a new job that should open up, they throw a few hints in there. You know, someone like me would be good for the job, right? You say nothing. He's talking. Parry should do this, and all of a sudden, Parry says, "Oh, who's smarter? You see, let it be you."
This is not hint.
No. Why he was telling him that with the price that he's giving good advice? It's as if it had nothing to do with him. And I'll show you even further. You notice the next part of the pasuk says that Pari tells him Re'ein Esaticha Al Kol Eretz Mitzrayim, right? What does Re'ein Esaticha call it? Good look, I put you. Wait, he put him there, so that's what he told him. He gave him the job. So what's Re'ein Esaticha? He read the pasuk Re'ein Esaticha.
אתה תהיה נביא אחיך אישה את כל עמי, רק יסב, ביום הפרון יוסב, ראה נתתיך אותך על כל ארץ מצרים.
What does that mean? What does it mean? Look, he gave him the job. So Bali Musa said, my ridic. Yosef showed no reaction whatsoever. Yosef was humble, as if he didn't get the job. Another person gets such a job, he goes, oh, thank, oh, great. Didn't say one word. So Pari's telling you, Eina Saticha. I said, you know what just happened? He just became the president of Mitzrayim. Yosef had no reaction. Why? Because Yosef did not think, oh, opportunity. I have an opportunity here now. Now, what is it? Hashem, this is what you want. Okay? You're leading me somewhere. Okay, I don't see the end yet. I'm not sure yet where this is leading me to. Another person would have been thrilled already by now. Whoa! Look, I went from the base I served to be the president. Another person has to be told, look. Pari wants a reaction from him. Do you know what just happened? Yosef said, not a big deal. Because Yosef is waiting to see in it the leadership, the hanhaga, that Hashem is leading him. In which direction? Because Yosef is not, Yosef is bil odai. And so Lakim, Esasher Oysa, Lakim Hera Lapara, it's all about the Rabbeinu Shlom. Now let's go back to Chanukah, Rabbi. Yeah. Chanukah is also Ketzam L'Chayshich. It's interesting. Why? You know, we have the Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. You know, the war continued quite some time after Chanukah. The war did not end. This was not the beginning of complete Yeshua. The Yeshua still had to come. This might have been the beginning. This might have been the breaking point. That's true. The point being, Ketzam Lachayshich. It is at this point that Klal Yisrael understood what's going to turn around the Golus for them. It is what now they see, that we're the tikkun, the reason for the Golus, the Bach tells us, because they were Misrashel ba'avoida. The Bach says that they were getting lazy in the avoida. So when the Chashmonaim came and were Moiser Nefesh, which is the epitome of the opposite of Misrashlus, so the Rabbi Nishloel gave them a nes of Chanukah and so on and so forth. So actually, we're not celebrating the final Yeshua. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating the Ketzam Lachayshich, that the darkness went away. And now we see light on how to proceed further and get ourselves away out of this galus. The Chashmonaim was a theme of how to be mitaken, how to stand up to the galus. They got the solution. Till now, the Yevanim Rechshichu Einehem, they blinded us. We had no hope. We didn't know where this was leading us. The Chashmonaim stood up and they said, Menoira, with clarity, Ketz, Sam Lachoyshech. So this is the miracle. The miracle isn't the Yeshua, the final Yeshua. The miracle is to the Ketzam Lachayshich, the light in the darkness. And that's why we're Madlik Daenerys. And Elchanan Wasserman Zecheinu Levracha asks the question, how come Purim, we didn't get the Yeshua through a milchama, through a war? Well, by Chanukah, we got it through a war. We had to fight, and through the fight, as a matter of fact, that's one of the terutzim to the Beis Yosef's question. Why is it that we have 8 days if the miracle was only 7 days? So he answers, one of the terutzim is that it's for the milchama. Day one is for the milchama. As a matter of fact, it's brought down in many achrayim that the nes of Chanukah, meaning the menorah, was to legitimize the nes of the nitzachon of the milchama. Which means that the milchama, people would say, you guys had strong, you had missiles, you had the chvezvas, American technology. They always have a way how to explain how Israel is not really a miracle. Okay. Nes Chanukah was a miracle. That's not new with American technology. There wasn't a special, maybe they'll say, there were special fuselages. What do you call it? Nuclear power. So it was able to go for 8 days. You know, okay, that's today. But in those days, they couldn't come up with that excuse. So that's clear that there was a miracle. So that legitimizes the miracle of the Milchama. As a matter of fact, the Chasam Sofer says that they fought the war. And what does it say? V'achach kach bo bonecha l'dvir beisecha, finu esecha lecha, v'tir... V'achach kach. What's v'achach kach? Because as a sign of the nitzachon of the war, to show that we won the war, they went into light the menorah. This was the... You know, like some people put up a statue,
a flag,
Klal Yisrael put up their flag. They went into the Beis HaMikdash, and they put up a menorah, to show that we won. What did we win? Oh. We won in the Ketzam Lachayshich, in the darkness. There became clarity. It became very clear. You look at the Megillus Antiochus, it says clearly, the Megillus Antiochus says clearly, that there was discussion between Yochanan and the children and every... We're lost. And Yochanan said, no, we're not lost. We can do it. We can be strong and we can win. And after that speech, they said, you know what? We follow you. That's me, Kamaicha, Bakelim, Hashem, we follow. Right? What is that? That was the clarity, the crack in the Chayshach. They gave up. Everybody gave up. What are we going to do? So Yochanan taught them, like the Bach explains, Mesiras Nefesh. Yeah. The Rebbe Elchanan, I told you, asked this question, how come by Chanukah was a Milchama, while by Purim there was no Milchama? So Rebbe Elchanan has a Yisayit, that when there's Kfira, In religion, you have to go to war physically. And he said about himself that he would be ready to go to war against the communists if it meant soldier. He's ready to be a soldier. It's a famous sikha that Rebbe Elchanan said. Purim, they want to kill us physically. We leave that up to the Amish to protect us. Lule divrei Rebbe Elchanan. B'neshikata fachato. I'm not coming to argue with him, but maybe a different angle. You know why Hanukkah needed a war? Hanukkah needed a war because the war was the tikkun. That itself is how we fix the problem. The problem was we were mitrashel. We became laid back, lazy. We missed the zeal, the mesirat nefesh that was needed to do the avodah. So how were we mitaken? How did we fix that? We fixed that by going to war. Purim was not about that. I even believe Purim was about a chisar and a bitachon. You know, they became close to the king.
They wanted a 6-month party.
Why? Because they wanted to feel secure in Persia. The Farshim tells us clearly. They wanted to be secure in Persia with the king. So therefore the tikkun was what? Not to be mishtadel, but to have bitachon in Hashem. That's what I believe the real pshat would be. Why Chanukah? Chanukah was about... Clearly, the Bach and Shulchan Aruch is clearly umitrashel, and they needed Mesirat Nefesh. So the tikkun was to go be Meisir Nefesh. The Ketzam LaChoshech is that they realized what was needed to undo the Galut. Usually the Yetzahara blinds us on what's needed to drag us out of the Choshech, to drag us out of the Galut. And here they realize what it is. Purim was the opposite. Purim was about the lack of bitachon. They didn't have faith. They believed that if they get close to the king. So what did the Rabbi Shem show them? You want to get close to the king? Okay, look what the king is going to do to you. And then they had to have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Fast and pray. You see, this is the tikkun. And where is it? It's the clarity. And it takes a gadol. It takes a tzaddik. Either like Mordechai or like Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And by Chanukah, Mordechai and Purim, to give clarity, direction of how to get out of the tzara, how to get out of the problem. So here, Yochanan was teaching him how to get, and that's the Ketzam LaChoshech. Could be for years and years they still had to fight, but they were heading in the right direction because they were in that situation. As a matter of fact, there's an interesting Chassam Sofer that he says that it's possible that they didn't even light the menorah. It wasn't even the menorah that they lit. They started with candles, which resembled the menorah. Because in the Chatzis Kodesh, you don't light the menorah. Nobody lights the menorah in the Chatzis Kodesh. You don't light it in the Chatzeres. As a matter of fact, there's even another pshat that he brings down, that it wasn't Chatzis Kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash. Every home lit menorah on top of the ceiling, on top of the roof. Likudeir is b'chatz kachecho in all the chatzeres, chatzroys, there's many. That's why we have a halach of hadlakas ner Chanukah that we light it in the chatzer. One of the halachas of ner Chanukah is we should light it b'chatzer, right? Bayis. Why is there a din in bayis and chatzer? Because the original menorah, according to some opinions, it wasn't that they came to the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash was tameh. They lit menorah where? On the houses, in the chatzeres, in the yards of Yerushalayim. Why? Because this was to remind that we won the war and we see the clarity, the Ar HaTorah, the Ar of the Menorah. This is the Vidliku Neiros Bechatzeres Kochecha. You hear? This was a crack in the Choshech. It was a crack in the darkness. And this crack we celebrate of Kates. Some lachayshach, Kate. Some lachayshach, Chanukah, and then the war. It was difficult afterwards. Galus, Rabbi says, Galus is difficult. Galus is very difficult. But when does Galus become doable, as they say in English? When does Galus become a vehicle to Geula? When it's without the chayshich, when we work against the Yetzihara that's blinding us, to figure out what it is that's going to bring the geula, and that's pisaim. I will end with this pisaim yavai heichal. Why pisaim? What does pisaim mean? You know what the word pisaim is? Suddenly, when someone is mishtadel, he can't say it came suddenly, right? You can't. Could you say you came suddenly? You started to do something, so you know it's coming. When a person completely didn't do anything and he didn't expect it because he wasn't working towards it, and it just shows up anyway. The Hishtadlut in Galus is never going to help us. We always think, it just drives us backwards instead of frontwards. Pitom Yavoi. With what? With Bitachon, like by Yosef. I assume in Abor, out of nowhere. Imagine one morning they open the thing, and he's ready to get the food that they're sending him down. They probably were sending him down the packaged foods, you know, like in the jail, and he's ready, and they all of a sudden they grab him! You're going to the melt. What? Who? What are you talking about? That's pitom. When he stopped doing all the hishtadlut. It's not about you. You can't do anything. I believe also that that's pshat. Giborim biyad chalashim. Rabim biyad ma'atim. Why did it have to be giborim biyad chalashim? Why does the war have to be that way? Rabim biyad ma'atim. Why does it have to be that way? You know, if the Eibishter wants, he could do a very interesting thing. You know what he could do? Many times in the history of Tanakh, we find that the Rebbein Shalom comes with a malach to the other enemy, and he frightens the living daylights out of them, and they run away. You know that. We have so many stories where they get messages, and they ghosts, and start, and they disappear. Here it was not. Here it was a fight. But in the fight, it was Gibayin Biyad Chaloshim and Rab Biyama. You know why? The Chalosh has no hope whatsoever. He goes to war thinking, I don't even know how I could win. There's no way I could win. Rab Biyad, there's no. And you win anyway. No Hishtadlut whatsoever. That's the Ketzam L'Choyshech. The lesson of. You're not Mishtadel, but you're Boteach Bakodesh Baruch Hu. That brings about the Kates Al Machayshach. I would just like to add one more last Nekudach. Okay? A beautiful Pshat I was thinking about. Beautiful. You know, the Or HaTorah, the clarity of the Chachamim, we think is a wisdom, we think it's a clarity. They see the situation, and the truth is the Or HaGanus is Misayfa Oilam at Saifa Oilam. It's so deep, and there's so much in the Torah and in the Or HaTorah, and the Chachamim will tap into the Or HaTorah. There's so much knowledge, there's so much there. You know, there's a Beis Yosef's Tasha. How can we light? If it was only a 7-day miracle, we make 8 days out of it. So the Beis Yosef gives two terutz. Okay. The miracle, they cut it up. Two simple terutz. Okay. Actually, this Kasha is not the Beis Yosef's Kasha. The Taisa Rosh and other Rishayim ask him before the... But the Beis Yosef, he was the one who made it famous. And we spoke a few weeks ago, maybe because... Beis Yosef Lahava. The idea of Yosef being against Yavon is Beis Yosef Lahava, maybe Beis Yosef, right? Okay. Medrash. You know, today we have hundreds of terutzim to this question. Hundreds, and there's Sforim that are printed, and every day another terutz is said by a different Rebbe and a different Rosh Hashiva. I mean, could you imagine a person writes a book? The Rajba has this question. And forget the Rajba's terutzim. I'll give you 100 of my own terutzim. You take the book and throw in the garbage. Who needs your terutzim? You should have 100 ways to explain the Rajba, not 100 ways to say your own terutz. What kind of a... Imagine a whole sefer like this. You know, the Rebbe Kiyah... The Marsha has a question. Forget the Marsha. I'll give you 100 terutzim. Who's interested in that? Well, the Rishayim have a kash in the teretz, right? Someone once came to Rav Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that he wrote a sefer to answer 103 of Rav Kiveg's kashas. three questions he says I had no answer for. But for 100 of the three questions, for 100 of the 103, I had a teretz for. And I wrote a sefer, a teretz from Kivegas questions. So Rav Gifta turns to him and says to him, Vos is dein mames nomen? What is your mother's name? I go, what's that? He says, because you must be a real choyla. I have to daven for you. If you think you can answer Kivegas questions, 100 of Akiva Hagen's remains Sadiq Iyun, and you think you have 100 terutzim to 100? You're a chayla, give me your mother's name, I gotta pray for you. You're a very sick man, you know. Then he turned around to him and he said, but you know, I can hear that you're happy, because the fact that you said three you didn't have an answer for, at least you understood three of Akiva Hagen's questions. At least that. So it's something three to understand three questions that you don't that you understand that you don't have an answer for. You understood at least three of them. Same thing here too. Yeah, the Yisrael has a question, and each person has 100 terutz. Api nigla, api nister, api pilpul. Why do we have all this? So I'll tell you what I think the pshat is, Rabbi Yisrael. I thought about it over Shabbos. Beizrat Hashem, this is what I came up with. You know, the Yavanim respected the letter of Torah, but they didn't respect the Torah Shebal Peh. They didn't respect the words of the Chachamim, the Drashas. They didn't respect all that. That wasn't for them a thing. Zaydim biad oiske sayresecha. What is a Zaydim? You know what the word Zaydim means? You say it every Yechanika. What is Zaydim? Does anybody know the word Zaydim? So the truth is, Zaydim has a simple pasuk that people taught. Zayd lets Yahir. Lets Yahir means he's a lets, he makes ridicule. And Yahir means he's a gaiva, he holds himself high. So Yavan lets Yahir. So I found an interesting Rambam. And I want you to know that I've shown this Rambam to very chush of the people. And every time I show they get so happy. It's a Rambam far out where so many, most people don't, you know, either learn, and if they learn it, they would catch it. It's like a one-word, two-word Rambam out of nowhere. The Rambam is in Hilchas Paraduma. There's a whole question between the Tzedukim, those that learn the text, and the Chachamim, if someone who has Harav Shemesh, means he went to the mikveh, but he didn't have the Harav Shemesh, he didn't have the night coming.
Sunset,
could he make the Efer Parah? So the Tzedukim say yeah, and then Chacham say no. That's brought down the Gemara. So the halacha is, we're mitama the kohen. We make the kohen bedavki tameh to undo, yeah, what the Tzedukim say. So the Rambam, when he brings this halacha in Perik Aleph, halacha yadala of Paraduma, he says, to be mafkia, me oisun hazeidim, he uses the word zeidim, it's interesting, this Zaydim, yeah? Sha'oisim kifi ha'oil al rucham. They do only what they feel, what they want. Yeah. Why does he talk about it in Paraduma? What does he mean? I'll tell you. Paraduma is chayk. The Goyim talk about Paraduma. The Goyim say, we don't know what this Paraduma, they don't, it doesn't make sense to them. Her Shemesh, not Her Shemesh. They look at the Chacham, you guys are crazy. You know what Zaydim are? Zaydim are that they think we're smarter than you. They do Oyla Rucha. They only do what they feel. They only do what they think is makes sense. They were very cultured, Yavon. Yavon was extremely cultured. They looked at the Talmid Chacham, the Chachamim, as, what do you call that, from a million years ago, what do you call it, archaic, you guys look like you're foolish, old foolish rabbis. You know what the Chacham do? The Chacham take a pasuk and they make a drasha. You know what the drasha is? Vav, extra vav, not an extra vav. If it's the Einin Yikatne and Yilasham, you know the games, so to speak, in the Yud Gimel Ik. You know the Yud Gimel Midas Hatayir the drashes mehem. The Yavanim look. You guys are crazy. You guys are archaic and backwards. Grow up. Get into the modern world. Zaydim. Says the Rambam, they do fi oila rucham. It has to make sense to them, that's all. And if it doesn't make sense, they don't like it. The Chachamim are different. What do the Chacham have? The Torah. So Zaydin would make fun. That's Pshat Zayd and Yahir. They would hold themselves higher, that they're much smarter than the Chachamim. So Zaydin, it's not like Haman who hated the Jew, or where the times where they hate the Torah. They don't hate the Torah. They hate the, so to speak, the primitive. You primitive Chachamim, enlightenment. Hoylal Rucham, says the Rambam, which means what they think makes sense. So the Chachamim were the Oiski Sarasecha, the Zaydin were those that made fun. Let's Yahir. He's Gaiva, he holds himself more intelligent. You hear? So what do we do? The Chachamim made a takan of Ner Chanukah. They seem to have made a simple mistake, a mathematical mistake. The nest was 7 days, and here they make it 8 days. Any guy who was an enlightened intellectual will live. See, look at the old rabbis. They couldn't count. They couldn't count. They took it. It's supposed to be a 7 day miracle, yeah? 7 days. They made it to 8 days. You know what we show? There could be hundreds of reasons behind the Chacham. Hundreds and hundreds of reasons. Hundreds of reasons. Tayr Shabal Peh. Because in the Aragon is Ein Soif. And every year it becomes more clear and more terutzim and more explanations and more understanding into the depth of how the Chacham made, so to speak, a simple mistake. Because that's what Chanukah is about. Chanukah is to uphold the Tairus of Baal Peh, the wisdom of the Chachamim, over the stupidity and the self-centeredness of the enlightenment of the Yavani, that he holds he's brighter and smarter and he knows better and he... Kates, Sam L'Choyshech. The Choyshech is when we don't see that there's so much in the Torah, there's so much. It's also a chayshah. A person, you know why? He doesn't understand. The Archaim HaKadosh writes, so it says clearly in Dvarim, he says that if a person would only write, rakto akol ha-toiv, you're supposed to bless Hashem by Bikurim, it says, akol ha-toiv, on all the good that he gives you. It says the Archaim, toiv is Torah. We all know the word toiv, ain't toiv ala Torah. So you should bless Hashem for the Torah. Why? Because the Torah is unbelievable, sweet, and wonderful. And then he says, had only someone tasted the Ur HaTorah, the sweetness of the Torah, he would run in the streets like a drunk. He would run in the streets like a drunk who runs after his next bottle of whiskey, the next fix of a drink. That's how much he would love it. Well, so why don't we have this? Because we didn't see it. We don't see it. We don't see it. Choyshech. People do not see. They do not see the Ur HaTorah. They do not see because it's Choyshech, Choyshech. The darkness doesn't let them see. Chanukah is about Ketzam LaChoyshech. So the Ur HaTorah shines forth. That's why the Chanukah, the Ur HaTorah shines. This is a good lesson for Chanukah. Open your eyes. Open your eyes, open your eyes. Clear, clear, clarity. To see the beauty of Torah. And to see the beauty of mitzvahs. And to see the beauty of what it means to be a Jew. The clarity. And that's why it's such a exciting holiday. Simcha, there's so much simcha. Because P'kudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Lev. The Torah is extremely enjoyable, says the Medrash Mishlei. When it's mitzvah Hashem, bara, clear. The ira seinayim. It's a medrash in Mishlei. Tezvav. When is p'kudei Hashem yishar misam chilei? When does the Torah make you happy? When it's mitzvah Hashem, bara, clear. The ira seinayim. The eye, oh, clarity. It's clear. It's crystal. It's see. Or you see the light of it. Let's see the light of the Torah in the mitzvah. So we'll have a Freilich Chanukah, because that represents the Ur HaTorah. And we should be Taka Ketzam L'Choyshech, we should be Zoyche to the Geula of Pisa and Yahweh L'Choloi, Adin Asher Atem Evachol.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.